The Unfaithful Mr. Scott, Melanie Smith. Chapter 31. Melanie did not think that anything was wrong at first. It was not until she received weird glares that she realized that something was wrong. Since she was used to doing her own thing, she did not care much about it. When she went to the HR department in the afternoon, she happened to meet Julie. Julie and Melanie had never gotten along with each other. Julie cast a sidelong glance at Melanie, then smiled and said to another colleague, "This is the first time I've heard of someone mimicking a car accident just to get Mr. Scott's attention. How shameless." Melanie paused slightly, raised her eyes, and looked straight at Julie. Julie was fearless. She took her things and raised her chin before she left. The other colleague looked at Melanie awkwardly. Melanie asked bluntly, "What's the rumor going around this time?" Melanie was not stupid. She guessed from Julie's attitude and words that it had something to do with her presence at the hospital last night. In fact, her guess was right. Early in the morning, a rumor that Melanie wanted to fight for Eugene's attention by imitating Viola spread in the company. The colleague briefly explained the situation. Melanie also caught the disgust in her eyes. After that, Melanie thought about it and went to Eugene. When she went to the president's office, Viola was holding a box of dessert with a sweet smile on her face. The colleagues around Viola were all cheerful. As soon as Melanie entered, everyone stopped smiling. Viola was the first to react. She asked, "Melanie, do you need something?" Melanie glanced at her and kept walking. "I'm looking for Eugene." Melanie's voice was cold, so Viola did not stop her. Julie sneered from the side. "Look at her. She still thinks that she has power around here." Viola tried her best to hide her smile. "Julie, don't say that. Melanie has always had a special relationship with Eugene." When Melanie opened the door and entered Eugene's office, he was not busy. "My grandpa sprained his ankle when he was hit by an electric bike on his way back to the nursing home." Melanie said it all in one go with an expressionless face. Eugene raised his eyes. "So? Will you visit him? He asks about you often." Melanie said it calmly. Only her clenched fists showed how nervous she was. Eugene looked at her and said nothing for a long time. Melanie took a deep breath and added, "You don't have to go." "Why should I go?" Eugene looked at her. "Give me a reason." Melanie's heart sank. She could not find a reason why Eugene had to visit her grandfather. After all, Eugene was her boss, not her boyfriend. Even if they used to be intimate, they were just fuck buddies. That was not a good enough reason for Eugene to visit her grandfather. Moreover, they were no longer sleeping together. Eugene had not slept with Melanie for a long time after he made things official with Viola. Melanie lowered her eyelashes. Her voice was a little hoarse as she said, "I'm sorry. I expected too much." Eugene looked at her with emotionless, dark eyes. He repeated, "Give me a reason, and I'll consider it." Chapter 32. Melanie returned to her senses. She nodded slightly and said, "You don't have to go through such trouble if you don't have time." She stared at the plant in the corner and continued, "If you do this, my grandpa will overthink it." "Overthink what? Didn't you ask me to go?" Eugene clicked his tongue and opened the door. He walked into his apartment and reminded Melanie impatiently, "Next time, think about the consequences before you come to me. You're so troublesome." Immediately after, Eugene slammed the door shut. Melanie touched the takeout bag. The food was already cold. She stood there motionlessly for a moment before she threw the takeout into the trash can and returned home. Albert stayed in the hospital for around 3 days before the doctor gave the green light for him to be discharged. Melanie especially went to pick her grandfather up because she knew that he must be bored after staying in the hospital for a few days. Albert held Melanie's hand and shook his head. "I told you I was fine, but you insisted that I stay in the hospital. Melanie was packing his suitcase as she said, "I will only feel more at ease this way." Albert smiled and opened the door to the ward, only to see a young lady struggling to push a wheelchair with a middle-aged man in it. The man in the wheelchair had a cast on his right leg that looked very bulky. Albert frowned and stepped forward to help. Viola raised her head and smiled sweetly at him, "Thank you." Melanie happened to come out after packing her grandfather's suitcase. She frowned when she saw her grandfather with Viola. Albert spotted Melanie and waved to her. "Mel, come here and help this girl." Viola was also stunned to see Melanie. "Melanie, why are you here?" Melanie stepped forward, took the wheelchair from Viola, and turned the corner with ease. "Grandpa, I'll take you back first." Melanie did not want to interact much with Viola in front of her grandfather, so she returned the wheelchair to Viola, took the suitcase, and left. "Melanie." Viola stopped her and said hesitantly, "Eugene went to get the medical report. He's on the way back now. You can ask him to help you with your suitcase." Viola sounded concerned, but Melanie knew that Viola was showing off that Eugene was hers. Just as Melanie was about to refuse, Eugene had already arrived. As soon as Viola saw him, she waved and said, "Eugene, come and help Melanie. It's hard for her to carry such a big suitcase alone." "Eugene." Albert was still standing nearby. He frowned and looked between Viola and Eugene. He had a feeling that something was wrong. Viola noticed Albert's gaze, so she carefully hugged Eugene's arm and shook it. "Eugene, this old man turns out to be Melanie's grandfather. He helped me just now." Eugene looked at Melanie's grandfather, nodded to him, and asked, "Are you getting discharged today?" Albert did not answer the question. Instead, he glanced at Viola and asked Eugene in a low voice, "Eugene, what is your relationship with this girl?" Albert was referring to Viola. Melanie also looked at Eugene, waiting for his answer. "Viola is my girlfriend." Eugene's expression was unchanged. Melanie looked at him and withdrew her gaze. "What was I expecting just now? Did I expect Eugene to say that Viola has nothing to do with him?" Melanie closed her eyes in silence for a moment. When she opened her eyes, she calmly picked up the suitcase and held her grandfather's arm. "Let me take you home first." However, the old man simply shook off her hand. He still maintained his composure, even though he wanted to lose his temper. Albert looked at Eugene and asked, "When did you and Mel break up?" Chapter 33. Melanie's eyebrows twitched. She subconsciously looked at Eugene, who did not answer the question. Instead, he looked at Melanie with an expressionless face. Melanie had been with Eugene for such a long time, so she understood what he meant with that gaze. He wanted her to take the initiative to explain to her grandfather. Albert frowned and looked at her. "Mel." Melanie slowly dug nails into her palm, glanced at Eugene, and lowered her eyelashes as she explained to her grandfather in a soft voice, "We broke up a long time ago." After saying that, Melanie slowly loosened her grip. She reached out to take the suitcase and said, "Grandpa, let's go." Before Melanie touched the handle of the suitcase, Eugene took it from her. He lifted the suitcase and looked at Melanie's grandfather. "I'll help you guys take it down. Eugene, we'll go back to the ward and wait for you." Viola spoke in a soft and sweet voice. She politely said goodbye to Melanie's grandfather. "Grandpa, thank you for helping me just now. I hope that you have a speedy recovery." When the elevator arrived, Melanie stopped and said, "You don't need to send us downstairs." After she finished speaking, she reached for the suitcase and prepared to leave. Before Eugene could speak, Melanie's grandfather said, "Eugene, I want to talk to you." Melanie frowned. Just as she was trying to find an excuse for Eugene, Eugene's phone rang. Melanie was close to him, so she saw Viola on the caller ID. She quickly looked away. Eugene answered the phone without avoiding Melanie and her grandfather. Viola said something, to which Eugene hummed in response before he hung up the phone. Eugene looked expressionless as he nodded to Albert. "Sorry, I have to go now." Although he said he was sorry, his attitude did not show any remorse. Melanie lowered her eyes and took the suitcase. It was only less than 2 minutes when Viola parted ways with Eugene. She dragged the suitcase and walked slowly with her grandfather to the parking lot. The old man had a deep frown and a glum face the entire time. It was not until Melanie sent him back to the nursing home that he said, "Mel, what's going on between you and Eugene?" "Nothing." Melanie was still sorting out the medicine Albert needed to take every day. She stopped for a moment and said nonchalantly, "We're just not a good fit for each other. I didn't tell you before because I didn't want you to worry." Melanie did not know who this rhetoric was intended for. Her eyelashes trembled slightly, and she felt that it made sense. She and Eugene were indeed not suitable for each other. The photo of Eugene pushing Viola's father in the wheelchair at Paramount Hospital was circulated within LeapCo because an employee who went for a check up in the hospital happened to bump into them. Eugene's employees had never seen such an approachable side of him and could not help but sigh. Melanie also saw the photo, but she remained calm. When Eugene wanted to be nice to someone, no one could stop him. Even though Melanie did not care about this, many of her colleagues still tried to tease her about it. Melanie and Eugene's relationship was not a secret at LeapCo. Thus, those who disliked Melanie took this opportunity to make fun of her. She bumped into Viola several times during meetings, but she ignored Viola and did her own thing. One time, Viola took the initiative to greet Melanie, but she used work as an excuse to avoid Viola. Viola pretended not to see Melanie after that. On Friday morning, everyone attended the scheduled meeting. As soon as the meeting ended, Viola came in with a document and looked at Melanie embarrassedly. "Melanie, you submitted this document, right?" Chapter 34. Melanie. Innocent. Simon snorted and said with disdain, "She's next door right now with that old geezer, Frank Yates. Don't you know what that man is like?" In Jepton, Frank was well known in the business world for being notoriously difficult to deal with. He was cunning and stubborn. Melanie had already drunk no less than 5 glasses of wine, but he still refused to talk about business. Instead, he poured her another glass of wine and said with a lewd smile, "Miss Smith, I've heard about you for a long time. You're so beautiful. Mr. Scott sure is lucky." Melanie did not have a high alcohol tolerance. In the past, she would bring an assistant when she went out for social engagements, but this time, she could not find anyone suitable to bring along. She wanted to stop him from filling up her wine glass, but Frank seized the opportunity and held her palm. He squeezed her hand and said, "Miss Smith, you have such smooth skin." Even though Melanie was dizzy, she immediately withdrew her hand and stood up. She endured the discomfort in her heart and said, "I'm sorry. I need to use the bathroom." Melanie felt dizzy after a few drinks. She leaned on the sink to calm down and suppress the nausea. The hotel corridor was long, and Melanie walked very slowly out of the bathroom. She felt sick when she thought of Frank's lecherous gaze sizing her up. Suddenly, a private room door on the side opened, and Melanie bumped into the person coming out. Simon did not expect to bump into Melanie. He smelled the alcohol on her body and subconsciously took 2 steps back. Melanie raised her head and glanced at him, then her eyes fell on Eugene. She said, "Sorry." Simon went out to answer the phone, so he walked past her and said impatiently, "Don't block my way." Melanie was the only one left at the door. Somehow, she was frozen on the spot. Someone suddenly shouted, "Melanie." Melanie raised her head and heard someone else say, "Close the door." Melanie came to her senses and silently closed the door. Then she walked back to her private dining room. After she left, The man who spoke earlier blamed himself and muttered, "Why do I feel like I've gone overboard? She looks like she's about to cry." His friend next to him smiled and said, "Don't think about her. Drink up. It's your turn." When Melanie returned to the dining room, Frank's two secretaries had already left. Frank was the only one there. He saw Melanie and gestured to her to fill up his wine glass. "Miss Smith, you promised not to leave until we got drunk tonight." Melanie knew that Frank was no longer thinking about the contract. She glanced at the wine glass and raised her hand to push it away. "Mr. Yates, I'm a little drunk, so I don't think now is a good time to discuss business. Let's meet another day." After she finished speaking, she wanted to leave. However, Frank did not agree. He grabbed Melanie's wrist and said, "We can only discuss business after getting drunk." Melanie felt nauseous and wanted to get away from him. While she was struggling, the private room door was pushed open. A cold male voice sounded, "Melanie, how long do you want me to wait for you?" Melanie turned around to see Eugene standing there calmly. His eyes glanced at her from time to time. Eugene was not in a hurry to drive. He lowered the car windows and looked at the neon lights outside. He asked in a mocking tone, "Since when did you start doing this to close a deal?" Melanie rubbed her forehead and said nothing. She had a severe headache. Eugene snorted coldly, put one hand on the steering wheel, and stepped on the accelerator. The cold wind outside made Melanie shiver. She wanted to close the car window, but Eugene said, "Don't close it. You reek of alcohol." Melanie had always been good at understanding Eugene's emotions. Even if she was drunk at the moment, she could still tell that he was angry. The reason he was angry was probably because she smelled of alcohol. Thus, she leaned a little closer to the window. Chapter 35. Melanie. Innocent. Simon snorted and said with disdain, "She's next door right now with that old geezer, Frank Yates. Don't you know what that man is like?" In Jepton, Frank was well known in the business world for being notoriously difficult to deal with. He was cunning and stubborn. Melanie had already drunk no less than 5 glasses of wine, but he still refused to talk about business. Instead, he poured her another glass of wine and said with a lewd smile, "Miss Smith, I've heard about you for a long time. You're so beautiful. Mr. Scott sure is lucky." Melanie did not have a high alcohol tolerance. In the past, she would bring an assistant when she went out for social engagements, but this time, she could not find anyone suitable to bring along. She wanted to stop him from filling up her wine glass, but Frank seized the opportunity and held her palm. He squeezed her hand and said, "Miss Smith, you have such smooth skin." Even though Melanie was dizzy, she immediately withdrew her hand and stood up. She endured the discomfort in her heart and said, "I'm sorry. I need to use the bathroom." Melanie felt dizzy after a few drinks. She leaned on the sink to calm down and suppress the nausea. The hotel corridor was long, and Melanie walked very slowly out of the bathroom. She felt sick when she thought of Frank's lecherous gaze sizing her up. Suddenly, a private room door on the side opened, and Melanie bumped into the person coming out. Simon did not expect to bump into Melanie. He smelled the alcohol on her body and subconsciously took 2 steps back. Melanie raised her head and glanced at him, then her eyes fell on Eugene. She said, "Sorry." Simon went out to answer the phone, so he walked past her and said impatiently, "Don't block my way." Melanie was the only one left at the door. Somehow, she was frozen on the spot. Someone suddenly shouted, "Melanie." Melanie raised her head and heard someone else say, "Close the door." Melanie came to her senses and silently closed the door. Then she walked back to her private dining room. After she left, the man who spoke earlier blamed himself and muttered, "Why do I feel like I've gone overboard? She looks like she's about to cry." His friend next to him smiled and said, "Don't think about her. Drink up. It's your turn." When Melanie returned to the dining room, Frank's two secretaries had already left. Frank was the only one there. Chapter 35. He saw Melanie and gestured to her to fill up his wine glass. "Miss Smith, you promised not to leave until we got drunk tonight." Melanie knew that Frank was no longer thinking about the contract. She glanced at the wine glass and raised her hand to push it away. "Mr. Yates, I'm a little drunk, so I don't think now is a good time to discuss business. Let's meet another day." After she finished speaking, she wanted to leave. However, Frank did not agree. He grabbed Melanie's wrist and said, "We can only discuss business after getting drunk." Melanie felt nauseous and wanted to get away from him. While she was struggling, the private room door was pushed open. A cold male voice sounded, "Melanie, how long do you want me to wait for you?" Melanie turned around to see Eugene standing there calmly. His eyes glanced at her from time to time. Eugene was not in a hurry to drive. He lowered the car windows and looked at the neon lights outside. He asked in a mocking tone, "Since when did you start doing this to close a deal?" Melanie rubbed her forehead and said nothing. She had a severe headache. Eugene snorted coldly, put one hand on the steering wheel, and stepped on the accelerator. The cold wind outside made Melanie shiver. She wanted to close the car window, but Eugene said, "Don't close it. You reek of alcohol." Melanie had always been good at understanding Eugene's emotions. Even if she was drunk at the moment, she could still tell that he was angry. The reason he was angry was probably because she smelled of alcohol. Thus, she leaned a little closer to the window. Chapter 36. Eugene helped Melanie into her house. Soon after, his phone rang. Viola asked him when he would be there, as he had promised to accompany her later. After hanging up the phone, Eugene wanted to leave, but Melanie held his fingers. Melanie sat obediently on the sofa, holding his hand. She drank a lot, so she smelled of alcohol, and her eyes were bloodshot. Eugene paused. Melanie wrapped her hand around his wrist, raised her head, and said in a hoarse voice, "Eugene, you haven't come to see me for a long time." After she finished speaking, she stood up, hooked her arms around Eugene's neck, and kissed his lips. When Melanie woke up the next day, her whole body ached. She rubbed her temples and went to the bathroom. When she stood in front of the full-length mirror in the bathroom and saw the mottled marks on her body, she knew that last night was not a dream. However, Eugene was very careful this time to not leave any marks on her neck. That was probably because he was afraid that Viola would become suspicious. The news of Melanie messing up the company's $5 million deal quickly spread in the office. Julie took advantage of this opportunity to make some snide remarks at Melanie. Viola did not mock Melanie this time. Instead, Melanie heard that Viola quarreled with Eugene again. Melanie rarely met Viola in the staff cafeteria aside from the beginning, when Viola first joined the company. After that, Viola always went out for lunch with Eugene. Viola was walking with a tray in hand next to Julie. She was stunned for a moment when she saw Melanie. Melanie did not have a good relationship with Viola, so she turned around and left. However, Viola followed Melanie, sat across from her, and asked hesitantly, "Melanie, do you know where Eugene was last night?" Viola was testing the waters. Melanie paused for a moment before she said calmly, "You don't know where he went." Viola pursed her lips and said reluctantly, "I had something to do last night. I didn't know where he went." Melanie's expression remained unchanged. "Well, maybe he was working." Viola was speechless. She ate a few bites of food and left in a hurry. In the afternoon, Viola followed behind Eugene, looking as if she had never quarreled with. Viola trotted over to Melanie and said, "Melanie, Eugene told me to plan the company's team-building activities in a few days. LeapCo gave many benefits to the employees. Every year, Melanie would organize the company's team-building activities. Thus, Melanie handed the almost completed document to Viola. "I'm almost done with it. You can redo it if you think it's not good enough." Viola took it over. The smile on her face faded a little. "Okay." Melanie was not bothered to guess what Viola was thinking because she was busy arranging her business trip next week. LeapCo had many partners in other states, so Eugene had to travel out of town several times. During the mid-year, Melanie did not know if Eugene would take her with him again this year. After all, he now had Viola by his side. The next day, Eugene informed Melanie to follow him to Hearth City. Melanie was a little surprised. "Is Viola going?" Eugene did not even bother to look at her. "What do you think?" Of course, Viola would go. However, Viola was just an intern and did not know much about the business in Hearth City, so she would be going as Eugene's girlfriend while Melanie was just his secretary. Chapter 37. The business partner in Hearth City sent someone to wait at the airport early in the morning. In the past, Eugene had always brought Melanie with him, so the business partner walked up to them and tried to curry favor with them. Viola felt neglected on the side. She tugged on Eugene's sleeves, and her face was pale. Having cooperated with this company many times, Eugene negotiated the new terms without a hitch. Melanie took out the documents from her bag and handed them to Eugene and the business partner. Then she habitually reminded Viola, "Don't forget to make a reservation for dinner later." Viola froze on the spot. She was already embarrassed that she could not join in the conversation. On top of that, Melanie bossed her around like she was a mere intern. Viola pursed her lips. She did not move for a while and only looked at Eugene with red eyes. Melanie only came to her senses afterward. She said, "Sorry, I mistook you for Yana." Viola said in a soft voice, "It's okay, Melanie." Melanie paused, glanced at her lightly, then turned to Yana, who was behind her. "Make a reservation for dinner. Do you still remember Mr. Zimmer's food restrictions?" Viola's face turned even paler. She did not join the dinner and excused herself to go back to the hotel to rest because she felt unwell. Viola looked at Eugene eagerly. "Eugene, can you take me back?" Melanie thought that Eugene would not agree to take Viola back because he wanted to have dinner with Mr. Zimmer. However, Eugene nodded and said, "Okay, I'll send you back." Eugene turned to look at Melanie. "I'll join you guys in a moment." However, Eugene stayed with Viola for so long that he missed the dinner party. After Melanie sent off Mr. Zimmer, she hailed a taxi back to the hotel. The door to Viola and Eugene's room was tightly closed. Melanie did not know if they were in there. The business deal in Hearth City was handled quickly. Melanie thought it would be fine from then on. However, a photo of Melanie and Frank drinking together intimately was circulated online. The angle it was taken from looked like Melanie had taken the initiative to throw herself into Frank's embrace. Yana had shown Melanie the photo and asked worriedly, "Melanie, will you be okay?" Melanie looked at the photo for a while and clicked on the group chat expressionlessly. The group chat was active at the time. The guys were talking about games, beauties, and sports cars. Melanie scrolled through the messages but did not find anything about the photo of her. Just as she exited the screen, a message popped up in the group chat. "Who took that photo of Melanie and that old geezer, Frank? How scandalous." Melanie stared at the screen and read the messages of people making fun of her. Someone even tagged Eugene. "How did you feel when you saw Melanie hugging Frank?" At Eugene Escott. This question seemed to spark the group's excitement. The group started to tag Eugene one after another. Half a minute later, Eugene finally replied. "Get lost." Melanie turned off her phone expressionlessly. On the day she returned to Jepton, This photo still caused quite a stir. More people in the company were talking about her behind her back. "Melanie, someone is here to see you." Yana came in with copied documents. She was one of the rare people who was still willing to talk to Melanie. Melanie nodded and went to the reception room. Stephen was sitting inside with a familiar, looking young man. Melanie thought about it for a moment and recalled that the young man was also a part of Eugene's circle. However, this man did not usually have a strong sense of presence. When the man saw her, he stood up awkwardly and said, "I'm sorry, Melanie. I took that photo and posted it in the group. I didn't expect it to have such a big impact on you." Chapter 38. Melanie paused. "You took the photo?" "I took the photo casually." The young man felt embarrassed because this was an invasion of privacy. Moreover, he also saw Eugene taking Melanie out of the private room. However, the man did not think about the consequences when he sent out the picture in the group chat. He only felt bad about it when he heard a lot of unpleasant rumors about Melanie. "My name is Joshua Hewitt." The man scratched his head and continued, "I just feel bad about what I did, so please let me know if you need any help." Melanie said nothing. She looked at Joshua and remembered that he was the guy who had asked her to close the private room door that night. Joshua was too embarrassed to stay longer, so he apologized again and left. Melanie looked at Stephen, who had been silent this whole time. "Do you have anything to say to me? Are you okay?" Stephen's gentle voice was filled with concern. "The recent events." Before he finished speaking, Melanie interrupted him. "It didn't affect me." Stephen looked at her helplessly and said, "Shall we have dinner together tonight?" Melanie and Stephen stayed in the reception room for a while. Just as Melanie was about to go back to the office, Yana came over in a hurry. When she saw Melanie, she caught her breath and said, "Melanie, a client is making trouble in the secretary's office." Yana looked troubled. When Melanie passed by, she realized that the client was a woman. The client pointed at a female secretary in the secretary's office and cursed the homewrecker for seducing her husband. The secretary's face turned red from embarrassment. Melanie frowned and stepped forward. "Ma'am, please calm down. We can talk through any problems." The client was so agitated that she did not listen to Melanie and pushed her away. Melanie was wearing high heels, so she twisted her ankle when the client pushed her. She almost fell, but someone held her shoulders from behind. Stephen supported Melanie and asked worriedly, "Are you okay?" Melanie carefully rolled her ankle, lowered her eyes, and nodded. In the end, Eugene was aware of this matter. He came downstairs when Melanie had just calmed the client down. Eugene glanced at Melanie and asked Viola to take the client to the reception room. When Viola passed by Melanie, she intentionally lowered her voice and said, "Melanie, I know you've been in a bad mood recently. But if there are any problems, you should have called the president's office." Although Viola lowered her voice, the office was so quiet that one could hear a pin drop because no one was talking. What else could Melanie be upset about recently? Viola was referring to that picture of Melanie and Frank. At the mention of this, everyone turned to look at Melanie strangely. Someone took advantage of the situation and whispered, "Sigh. Her subordinate is just like her. If she used her body to get to her position, how can we expect her subordinate to be any better?" Stephen did not leave. He frowned and glared at the person who spoke. Then he looked back at Melanie and asked, "Do you want to go to the hospital?" Just as Melanie was about to refuse, he said, "You sprained your ankle, so it's better to get it checked out." Melanie was stunned. "How did you know?" Stephen's tone was gentle and soft. "Don't be so stubborn." Melanie said nothing, but she had already reached for her bag, showing her agreement. Eugene, who had turned back, happened to see Stephen supporting Melanie and holding her bag. He paused slightly and looked down at Melanie's right ankle. Melanie also saw him, but she waited for him to speak. Eugene looked at her with dark eyes. Did you get injured just now?
Yeah.
I got pushed. Chapter 39. Eugene looked at Melanie again and left without saying anything. Melanie looked at his back, pursed her lips, and went to the hospital with Stephen's help. It was not until Melanie was waiting to collect her medicine in the hospital that she finally knew why Eugene came by to see her. Stella posted about the Scott family's dinner party that night on social media. Eugene did not have a close relationship with his family, so he was always not bothered to get involved in anything relating to his family. Thus, he always got Melanie to attend in his stead. Melanie put down the phone and looked at her swollen ankle with mixed feelings. Eugene only thinks of me when he needs me. Melanie did not have any fractures, so she only had to apply some ointment and was cleared to go home. Stephen went out to buy a pair of flats for her and sent her home. Since Melanie's foot hurt when it touched the ground, Stephen insisted on sending her home regardless of her objections. When he left, Stephen opened the door just in time to catch Eugene going into his apartment. Stephen paused and said hello to him. Eugene looked at Melanie's door, which was still ajar, and sneered. Stephen frowned and somehow said, "Eugene, Mel is injured." Eugene paused while opening his door. "Didn't you take her to the hospital?" Stephen calmed his emotions and said, "You shouldn't treat her like that. You too." He stopped mid-sentence because he was a little confused about how he should describe the relationship between Eugene and Melanie. Melanie had undoubtedly been with Eugene the longest. However, Eugene had never really acknowledged her as his girlfriend. Stephen slowly frowned, shook his head, and repeated, "You shouldn't treat her like this. She is not my girlfriend." Eugene opened the door and said nonchalantly, "I have no obligation to take responsibility for her." After he finished speaking, the door behind Stephen closed gently, which made a thud in the quiet corridor. Melanie saw that the door was ajar and thought that Stephen had forgotten to close it, so she went to close the door. However, she did not expect to hear Eugene's voice. She accidentally slipped and pushed the door shut. In fact, Eugene was right. Melanie was not his girlfriend. He never admitted it, and she never asked. Even if she did ask, it would be pointless. Melanie's ankle no longer hurt by the third day. On that day, the activities for Leapco's team building event were finalized. Melanie saw the activities and noticed that they were similar to her proposal, except that the final game was changed. When Yana came in, she had a gloomy expression and went straight to her desk without saying anything. Melanie noticed Yana's mood and asked, "What's wrong?" "Those secretaries upstairs think that they're superior to others," Yana complained angrily. "I wanted to ask Mr. Scott to sign a document, but Julie and Viola didn't allow me to go into the president's office." Melanie said, "Then you can pass them the document and ask them to return it to you after getting Mr. Scott's signature." "They didn't want to, saying I must get the document signed by myself." "That's because they didn't want to be responsible if something went wrong." Yana had always been good, natured, but this time, she must be vexed to have lost her temper. Melanie pondered for a moment and said, "I'll get it signed for you." Chapter 40. Yana hesitated. Everyone in Leapco knew about Melanie and Viola's strained relationship. Melanie did not care and took the document upstairs. She was lucky because Viola and Julie were in the bathroom when she went upstairs. So, she took the document and went directly to Eugene. Eugene did not expect to see her, so he raised his eyebrows slightly. Melanie handed over the document and said, "I need your signature." Eugene took the document, opened the file, and signed it. Melanie's eyelashes trembled slightly when she watched him sign without reading the document. The first lesson Eugene taught her was to read any contract carefully, even if it was handed over by someone she knew well. "How's your ankle?" Eugene randomly started a conversation while signing the document. Melanie said softly, It's almost healed. Can you participate in the team building event? Yes. Melanie watched him sign the contract and hand it over. She took it and was about to leave when Eugene said, "You can reimburse your medical fees at the finance department." Melanie did not move and looked at Eugene. Eugene paused and said, "Someone took a video and posted it online. The public relations department wants to use your injury to make a statement." Eugene's eyes were empty without emotion when he looked at Melanie. Melanie parted her lips slightly and said in a soft voice, "I thought you would at least ask me if it still hurt." Eugene's hand, which was holding a pen, paused. He said, "You can get double the compensation and paid leave." "Okay." When Melanie came out of the office, she met Viola and Julie coming back from the bathroom. When Viola saw Melanie coming out of Eugene's office, she looked nervous and defensive. She came over with a fake smile and said, "Melanie, why are you here?" Melanie glanced at her and walked past her without responding. Viola bit her lip and went back to her desk. LEAPCO's team, building event at a hot spring resort. Eugene approved the proposal and booked the resort so that every employee at LEAPCO could spend the weekend together. Everyone in the secretary's office was very excited when they found out about the location. After all, booking a high-end hot spring resort as a team building event was rare, even in LEAPCO. Not long after the news came out, someone leaked the news that Viola was the one who planned all this. Everyone immediately started to cheer. Those who were good at flattering Viola even started calling her their lady boss. Viola was pestered by so many people that she sent out some goodie bags to appease everyone. She also messaged the group, "I hope everyone will enjoy their weekend." She already sounded like a lady boss. Melanie thought about the team building plan that Viola had tweaked and went to the pantry with a mug. Viola came downstairs to do some work and was standing there chatting with some finance people. "It's all thanks to Viola that we can go to the hot spring resort this time. I've been working at LEAPCO for so many years, but this is the first time we have had such treatment." The deputy director of the finance department said with a smile, "Viola, I heard that you're responsible for the team building proposal this time, right?" Viola had a sweet smile on her face. She had a baby face, which made her look more lovable. She did not admit or deny it. However, such silence was taken as acquiescence. Melanie walked in expressionlessly and poured herself a glass of water. When Viola saw Melanie, the smile on her face froze. Melanie did not say anything. She just took her mug and left, but the person behind her said in a disdainful tone, "When Melanie was in charge of the team, building events, she had never proposed going to such a nice place before. Our lady boss, Viola, is still the best." Melanie did not know what Viola's answer was because she had already gone back to her desk to pack her things. Act fast, free bonus time is running out. Chapter 41. The team building event was set on the weekend. Everyone gathered at the company before boarding the bus together. Just as Melanie headed out, she bumped into Eugene. Eugene glanced at her, but he did not offer to give her a lift. Melanie arrived minutes later than Eugene. The man had good driving skills, so he could drive fast and steadily. Meanwhile, Melanie was stuck in the traffic for a while. The company had booked 5 buses, and Melanie was on the same bus as Yana. Yana didn't like taking the bus. She looked at Viola outside the bus enviously as she commented, "When can I take a ride in a Maybach?" Viola had casually said she did not want to take the bus because she would suffer from motion sickness. Just like that, Eugene came in his luxurious and expensive Maybach. Melanie retracted her gaze and looked at her phone instead. The video of the ragdoll cat Steven had sent her was on the screen. It was a cat he was raising. She missed Eugene's gaze as soon as she looked at her phone. All Eugene could see was her side profile. His gaze on her was calm, and no one could guess what he was thinking. "Eugene? Are you listening?" Viola tugged his arm as she spoke in an aggrieved tone. Eugene stopped looking at Melanie as he slowly fixed his gaze on Viola. With a puzzled look, he asked, "What did you say?"
"I asked you about my attire. Do I look good in it?"
Viola tugged the skirt she wore as she looked at Eugene anxiously.
"You look pretty," answered Eugene without hesitation. Only then was Viola satisfied.
She hugged Eugene's arm as they walked past the bus. Melanie stopped looking at the video and lifted her head, only to see Eugene and Viola walking away. She could see Eugene holding Viola's hand with care. The spa resort was halfway up the mountain. It was already noon when they arrived. Melanie and Yana returned to their room to take a nap after lunch. Just as they fell asleep, someone knocked on their door, asking them if they were interested in going for a hike up the mountain. Melanie had a sprained ankle, so she rejected their invitation. Everyone in the hotel had already left when she woke up from her nap. Only after she asked the hotel staff did she know that they had gone hiking. Grabbing a book, she headed to the gazebo outside to get some fresh air. However, she stumbled into Eugene while making a turn in the corridor. He had just hung up a call when he happened to see Melanie. Frowning, he asked, "Why didn't you go hiking with them?"
"I didn't feel like going," said Melanie.
Eugene might have forgotten that her ankle had just recovered. Eugene wanted to say something when his phone rang again. He went aside to answer it. Hearing his serious tone, Melanie guessed that the call had to do with work. Maybe because her mind had strayed from thinking about Eugene, she missed a step on the stairs when walking down. Losing her balance, she almost fell. Suddenly, she caught a whiff of a minty fragrance from behind, and it assailed her nostrils. A strong arm grabbed her waist, stopping her from falling off the stairs. Eugene held his phone with one and supported her with another. His forehead creased as he reprimanded her, "Why are you so troublesome?" The minty scent surrounded her, yet it faded away as soon as she stood still. Eugene looked at her from above. His gaze on her was cold and distant. "Don't you know how to walk? Or did you do this on purpose?" Melanie remained silent for a while before asking, "What do you mean by on purpose?" Eugene had a faint smirk on his face. "Are you asking this on purpose too, Melanie?" "No," before Melanie could explain herself, Viola leaped toward them. Even the other colleagues who had gone hiking had all returned. Melanie was about to distance herself from Eugene when she heard him say in a deep voice, "It's disgusting looking at you putting on such an act. Act fast, free bonus time is running out." Chapter 42. Melanie was still stunned when Viola approached them. "What are you guys talking about? I saw you two standing together just now." Viola appeared before them and seemed to be acting coquettishly. However, she was actually probing what they were up to. Eugene was calm. "Nothing." He then diverted the topic. "Was it fun up the mountain?" Viola knew Eugene was trying to avoid the topic. She had always been good at observing people. She simply answered his question. When she walked past Melanie, she stopped and said something out of her will, "Melanie, it's a pity you didn't go. The view there was magnificent." That night, Viola arranged a truth or dare game session. Everyone was divided into a few groups. Melanie avoided being in the same group as Viola and Eugene. She chose to be with a group of colleagues she was not familiar with. The game went on as normal in the beginning, and everyone tactfully avoided asking awkward questions. However, as they continued playing, everyone got more excited. When it was Melanie's turn to answer, her colleague seemingly asked her a question out of nowhere, "Melanie, when did you have your first night, and who did you sleep with?" Melanie was at a loss for words upon hearing that question. Viola, who happened to be serving them a fruit bowl, heard that question. She was also startled. Plastering a smile on her face, she asked, "How could you ask a woman such a private question?" "With Eugene when I was 20 years old," Melanie answered as soon as Viola spoke.
Her voice was not loud, but many people had been waiting for her answer, and it was quiet. Most of them heard it. Viola's face turned pale. She quickly put down the fruit bowl and left with tears shimmering in her eyes. The atmosphere was awkward, yet Melanie was calm. Spinning the bottle, she asked, "Shall we continue?" All the employees were smart. They chuckled and acted as if nothing had happened. Melanie played a few more rounds before losing interest in the game. Thus, she headed to her room. Just as she turned into the corridor, someone approached her from behind and stopped her. It was Eugene with a frown on his face. "Can we talk?" Melanie lifted her eyebrow. "What do you want to talk about?" Eugene stared at her for a while, and his furrowed brows loosened. "Forget it. Are you here to blame me for saying that during the game?" asked Melanie. Eugene stared into her eyes. "Who are you trying to tell that? Me or Viola?" After he spoke, he sneered as if he did not care. "I had already forgotten about that. Why are you still recalling it?" That answer was out of Melanie's expectation. "I was just answering their question. Don't tell others about this. I won't be able to explain it to her." Eugene looked frustrated. Melanie wanted to retort him by saying there was nothing to explain. Everyone in the company knew what had happened between Eugene and her. However, her mind was in a mess, and she did not speak out her thoughts. Melanie did not join any other activities held throughout the team building event. Viola also did not force herself to speak to Melanie. Viola's attitude toward Melanie was even more off when they were back at work. Even Yana sensed something was off. She had told Melanie countless times that the higher UPS seemed to be making things difficult for Melanie. Melanie did not say anything about it as she tidied up her desk. She had a dinner date with Stephen. To be precise, Stephen had asked her out quite a few times, yet she never had the time. Stephen had booked a table at a famous restaurant. When Melanie arrived, he said with some embarrassment, "I'm sorry that I asked you to come to such a restaurant with me, Mel. This place looks fine." Stephen smiled. "How are things going with you?" Melanie knew he was asking about her situation with Eugene. "It's just the same as before." "Eugene?" Stephen looked worried. He felt sorry for Melanie. She had dated Eugene for years, and almost everyone in the business circle knew about their relationship. Chapter 43. Eugene had Viola now, and it seemed everything had changed. Melanie froze upon hearing Eugene's name but quickly hid her flustered emotions. She wasn't sure she was telling Stephen or comforting herself, but she said, "I don't own him. We're adults who just benefited from each other." "Mel." Stephen frowned. "Instead of worrying about me, why don't you find me a new boyfriend?" said Melanie monotonously. It was a difficult request as Melanie had been with Eugene for so long. Those people from decent families would not want a girlfriend like her. It was no different from dating a divorced woman. Sighing, Stephen decided to end this topic. He asked Melanie, "Has your leg recovered?" "Almost." "Can you attend a banquet with me this weekend?" Stephen seemed to be in a dilemma. "It's my aunt's birthday, and she wants me to bring along a female partner." Melanie knew Stephen's aunt, who was a famous dancer in Jepton. That night, she got dressed and waited for Stephen to pick her up. However, at 6 p.m., Stephen called her and told her he would not be able to pick her up. She might have to take a taxi to the venue herself. Melanie did not mind and went downstairs to hail a taxi. However, it was a weekend night, and the traffic was heavy. When Melanie arrived, the banquet had already started. Melanie tried calling Stephen, but she could not reach him. She texted him, telling him that she would be waiting for him outside. "Eugene, I heard your company organized a team building event at a spa resort." Melanie was scrolling through her phone when she heard Simon's voice from afar. Melanie froze for a moment before lifting her head. As expected, she saw Simon and Eugene. When Simon saw her at the door, he lifted his eyebrow. "Hey, are you working as a bellboy here?" Melanie ignored his ridicule and continued to wait for Stephen. "Do you need me to take you in?" Asked Eugene in his cold and distant voice. Melanie looked at her phone. Stephen had not replied to her message. She could only put away her phone and look at Eugene. "Thank you." Eugene did not respond. He merely handed over the invitation and walked into the banquet hall. Just as they stepped in, they saw Stephen rushing toward the entrance. Melanie greeted him. He walked over helplessly while pointing at the few kids in the corner. "They were asking me to play with them. I'm sorry for keeping you waiting, Mel." Simon raised his eyebrow meaningfully. "Stephen, so you were the one who invited Miss Smith." Eugene's gaze had been on Melanie for quite a while. She had dressed up tonight and was wearing a beige dress with her hair tied up. This style enhanced her temperament, making her look elegant. Melanie did not notice Eugene's gaze. She went to greet Eugene's aunt with him. Simon whistled. "Melanie sure is something. Even Stephen has fallen for her." Just as he commented, Joshua approached them with a glass of wine. The Hewitt family was not renowned enough in Jepton, so Joshua had always been considered an outcast among Simon's friends. After he greeted Simon and Eugene, he stood there with his wine glass, looking as if he had something he wanted to say. Simon was annoyed to see him like this and asked casually, "Do you have something you want to say?" "Why, yes." Joshua seemed nervous. He glanced at Melanie and then back at Eugene. After a while, he stuttered as he asked, Eugene, are you already done with Melanie?" Eugene looked at him coldly. Joshua looked excited upon hearing that. "Do you think I stand a chance, then?" Chapter 44. Eugene's hand froze in midair. His gaze swept past Joshua before he took the glass of wine the waiter was serving. Then, he said in his clear voice, "I don't know." "Oh," Joshua looked disappointed. Simon stood by and watched. He elbowed Joshua as he quipped, "I didn't think you could be so bold. My family is urging me to date someone soon." Melanie was too far from them to hear the conversation. She was with Stephen, meeting his aunt. Stephen's aunt, Amber Lambert, was in her 40s, but she had been taking care of her appearance because she was a dancer. Casually, she observed Melanie from head to toe. Then, she smiled and asked Stephen, "Aren't you going to introduce her to me?" Stephen cleared his throat. "Her name is Melanie Smith." Expressionless, she said, "I know Miss Smith. Isn't she in a relationship with Mr. Scott, the president of LEAPCO?" Then, she looked at Melanie again. It was a casual question, but her intention of probing was obvious. "Miss Smith, did you come with Mr. Scott?" "No," answered Melanie. She handed her gift to Amber. "I came as Stephen's friend. This is a birthday gift from me to you." Amber was born with a silver spoon, and her arrogance ran down to her bone. The few photos of Frank and Melanie had been spreading widely in their circle. Naturally, Amber had seen them as well. Those wealthy ladies had all been gossiping about how Melanie was lucky enough to date Eugene. Amber despised Melanie's status to begin with, and her impression of Melanie became even worse. She did not even glance at the gift Melanie handed her. Lifting her chin, she answered lazily, "Just put it there." Stephen noticed Amber's change in attitude. He frowned. "Aunt Amber, Melanie came to give you her best wishes on your birthday." Amber looked at him, her warning gaze obvious. "Stephen, your parents will be here soon." It seemed that she did not want Stephen to have anything to do with Melanie. Melanie pursed her lips and placed aside the gift she brought. Looking at Stephen, she said, "I'll excuse myself first, then." "Mel." Stephen subconsciously grabbed her wrist. He looked at her apologetically. "I'll give you a lift later." Eugene and Simon walked over to toast Amber. Although they were from different industries, Amber was still an elder to them. They saw Stephen holding Melanie's wrist, telling her he would drive her back. Simon smiled meaningfully. "Looks like Melanie has changed her target to Stephen after you dumped her." Eugene continued walking. When he walked past Melanie, he glanced at Stephen's grip on Melanie's wrist. It was Amber's birthday, and everyone close to the Lambert family was in attendance. Eugene and Simon had to toast the elders as they were the juniors. Melanie sat on the sofa in the corner as she looked at Eugene, who was socializing with ease. Before this, she had been by his side, drinking wine on his behalf. However, he rarely told her he was attending any banquet recently. Maybe it was because he had Viola to accompany him now. Melanie wondered why he did not bring Viola to this banquet. She sat at the corner, and almost no one spoke to her. Only Stephen and Joshua approached her. She had a good impression of Joshua, so she gave her number out of courtesy when he asked for it. When she walked to the hotel entrance, she saw Eugene sitting on the sofa in the lounge with a frown. He looked displeased. Melanie understood he had to drink since no one was there to drink for him. Stephen called her name in a gentle voice, "Mel, wait for me here. I'll go and get the car." "All right." Melanie drooped her eyes as she draped the coat around her body. "Act fast, free bonus time is running out." Claim. Chapter 45. The doors to the hotel opened, and the wind from outside blew in. It was indeed cold. Stephen had walked out, and Melanie wanted to wait for him at a corner of the corridor, but she saw Eugene opening his eyes. He was a little drunk, so the corner of his eyes was red, and his pupils were still dark. Eugene's gaze fell on Melanie. Her brows furrowed subconsciously when she heard him say, "Melanie, drive me home." Startled, she did not move. She looked around. Simon or any other friends of Eugene were nowhere to be seen. Not getting a response from her annoyed Eugene. His expression turned gloomy as his fixed on Melanie. She lowered her eyelids and spoke in a voice that was loud enough for Eugene to hear, "I didn't drive here. Ask Simon to drive you home." "Eyes." Eugene stared at her as he smirked meaningfully. He mocked, "Are you really dating Stephen now?" Melanie looked at her feet, saying, "It's none of your concern. Stephen and I are just friends." She wasn't sure if Eugene believed her, but he closed his eyes once more. Melanie moved her lips but eventually swallowed the words she was about to say. She could not give Eugene a lift. Eugene was drunk now, so it would actually be fine. However, once he sobered up, he would misunderstand and think she did it on purpose. Stephen happened to drive over in his car. Melanie glanced at Eugene one last time before heading toward the car. Stephen said, "I saw Eugene in the lobby just now." "He might be waiting for someone," Melanie responded calmly. Stephen stopped asking and drove Melanie home. Before he left her house, he handed her a small box inside the car. "I did this for fun. Take it as a gift of appreciation for tonight." In the box was a clay figurine that looked real and beautiful. Melanie did not expect Stephen to have such a talent. Back home, she appreciated the figurine for a while before keeping it on the table on top of the box. She had worn thick makeup that night and took longer to shower. When she walked out of the shower, she saw Eugene on the sofa in the living room. Melanie's footsteps froze. The lock of her house was a password lock, and Eugene knew the password. Her action of combing her hair stopped as she stood still. Eugene reeked of alcohol. Lifting his eyelids, he said with parted lips, "Come over here, Melanie." Eugene's voice sounded different from usual. Freezing, Melanie asked, "Do you want me to call Viola over?" However, Eugene only responded to her with a stare, and he said nothing. After a while, he unbuttoned the collar of his shirt as he said, What does Stephen see in you? Melanie was at a loss for words. You're drunk. You haven't answered me yet. What does Stephen see in you? Eugene squinted his eyes as he observed Melanie like he was evaluating an item. Melanie took a deep breath. She did not want to talk much with him. She wanted to pull Eugene up from the sofa. I'll send you back. However, her wrist was grabbed just as her fingers touched Eugene's arm. He lowered his head and buried his face on Melanie's shoulder as he called out her name in his deep voice, Melanie. Chapter 46. His warm breath gushed onto Melanie's neck when he spoke. She subconsciously tilted her head to dodge it. However, Eugene's grip clenched her wrist, making her unable to break free from it. Suddenly, she felt a cold sensation on her neck. Startled, Melanie realized Eugene was kissing every inch of her slender neck and heading straight to her ear. Her body instantly felt like jelly. Eugene's gaze turned passionate. He grabbed Melanie's waist and pulled her to the sofa. They had been in a relationship for 8 years. Eugene recognized every inch of Melanie's body. The window in the living room was not closed. The wind blew in with the drizzle, causing the curtain to flutter. Melanie snapped out of it when the cold wind blew on her exposed skin. Clenching her teeth, she tried to push Eugene away with all her might. They were on the sofa, and Eugene was pushed to the other end of the couch. His hair was messy, and the movement revealed most of his chest and abdomen muscles. Even Melanie's nightgown was pulled down by him. It hung loose on her shoulder. Melanie tugged the strap of her nightgown. After easing her breathing, she said, "Look at me, Eugene. I'm not Viola." Eugene looked displeased. Just as he was about to speak, he heard his phone's ringtone coming from beside him. It was a call from Viola. He froze for a second before answering it. Viola's voice sounded aggrieved from the other end of the call. "Eugene, didn't you say you'd be accompanying me tonight? Why haven't you arrived yet?" Eugene rubbed his forehead. "Wait." He hung up the call. Melanie was still on the sofa. He had ripped off her nightgown, which revealed her back. Melanie was thin, and her scapula was prominent. She was fair, which made her look weak and vulnerable. Eugene stood up after speaking to Viola. Right after he took a step, he turned around and looked at Melanie as if something had struck him. He said emotionlessly, "Of course, you aren't Viola." After Eugene left, Melanie sat on the sofa for a while before returning to her room. Her wrist hurt from being pulled by Eugene, and it was a little red. However, Eugene had not noticed this. All he had wanted was to force himself on her with the excuse of being drunk. The following day, Melanie went to meet a client before heading to work. When she entered the office, Yana told her in a mysterious tone, "It's quite lively upstairs." "What happened?" "I heard Mr. Scott's mother is here, and she's making things difficult for Viola." "Well, I can understand why. Not many women from the slums can marry someone rich like Mr. Scott." Melanie did not pay attention to the rest of the things she said. She was wondering why Stella had visited the company. She did not like interfering in the company's affairs. However, before she could ponder further, she received a call from upstairs, asking for her presence. When Melanie was upstairs, she saw Stella in the lounge. Viola stood before her with tears shimmering in her eyes. She seemed to have cried. Eugene was nowhere to be seen. Melanie stood at the door and pondered for a while, but Stella had already spotted her. Stella had always been rude toward Melanie. She asked, "Where's Eugene?" Melanie answered, "I don't know." Chapter 47. "Aren't you his secretary?" "I'm not working in the president's office anymore," Melanie sounded calm. She looked at the coffee in front of Stella and frowned as she approached it. "I'll get you a cup of black tea." Stella did not like drinking coffee. She snorted as she said, "As expected from a poor girl who can't even present herself well." No one knew who she was referring to, Melanie or Viola. However, Melanie was used to it and expressionlessly served her a cup of black tea. Viola's eyes grew redder, and tears rolled in them. She bit her lower lip, making her look pitiful. Stella was apparently in a bad mood that day. She sipped the black tea before placing the cup back on the coffee table. Then, she said sarcastically, "Eugene's taste is as bad as it has always been." Melanie did not stay there for long. After all, it was not her job to deal with Stella anymore. However, just as she headed downstairs, she heard someone gossiping. "Looks like marrying into a rich family isn't easy. Look at how Viola is being reprimanded and despised by Mr. Scott's mother." Stella was indeed picky. Even Melanie had failed to win her heart after so many years. It made her wonder how much Eugene would dote on Viola. When Eugene returned, Stella had already left. When she returned to her office, the employee who had gone upstairs to send some documents was gossiping. She told them Viola started complaining about her misery as soon as she saw Eugene. Melanie did not listen to their gossip or join in the conversation. Yana was curious and asked, "How did Mr. Scott react? What else could Mr. Scott do? He could only coax her. Eugene had feelings for her, after all." Melanie did not expect Stephen to pick her up from work. He was already waiting at the door when she got off work. He waved at her. "Why are you looking for me?" Melanie walked over to him. Stephen said, "Do I need a reason to look for you?" He chuckled after saying that. Then, he took out a small box. "I forgot to give you this. This and the one I gave you the last time is a pair. Please take it. This figurine looked lonely when I saw it at home. So, I brought it here to give it to you. It's better for a couple to be together." This time, the heart in the figurine's hands was blue. The one Stephen gave her before this had a pink heart in her hands. They were indeed a pair. Melanie took it curiously. "Do you like making clay art?" "My grandfather likes it. I learned the craft from him when I was a kid. There's a clay art exhibition tonight. We can go if you are interested," said Stephen. Melanie had nothing on that night. Just as she was about to agree, she saw Eugene and Viola walking out of the building. Viola's eyes were still red as she held Eugene's arm. She looked like an aggrieved kitten. Melanie immediately looked away from them. She had thought that her colleagues were exaggerating when she heard them gossip that afternoon, yet she realized it was not the case at all. Stephen had to greet Eugene, and Eugene's gaze looked calm when he glanced over at them. Melanie did not feel much being seen by him. Only Viola's grip on Eugene's arm tightened a little. She urged Eugene, "Come on, Eugene. We will be late." Eugene nodded and headed toward his car. Looking away, Melanie asked Stephen, "Didn't you suggest going to the exhibition? We'll be late if we don't leave now." Stephen was startled and opened the door for her. Smiling, he said, "I thought you wouldn't be interested." "Why wouldn't I? The clay art you made is pretty, and I like it," said Melanie after a pause. Chapter 48. Her voice wasn't loud, but Eugene and Viola were not far away from them and heard it. Eugene immediately stopped walking. This went unnoticed by Melanie, who got into Stephen's car. In her hand was the figurine Stephen gave her. "I thought you wouldn't be interested as many think it's boring," said Stephen with a chuckle. He had a gentle and charming appearance, and his voice always sounded polite. It soon snapped Melanie out of her thoughts. She looked at the figurine in her hands. "Well, I might not know much about clay art. I can tell you everything I know," said Stephen. The exhibition was in a museum in the north of the city. When they arrived, it was nearing the end of the opening hours, so only a few people were inside. Melanie knew little about clay art. She followed Stephen as she listened to his introduction to the stories behind the clay art pieces. When they stopped before an elegant vase, Stephen looked at it with a nostalgic look. "This is my grandfather's favorite masterpiece." Melanie was stunned. She remembered Stephen had mentioned his grandfather was dead. She didn't know what to say, so she silently admired the vase with Stephen for a while before saying, "It's pretty." Stephen smiled, but it was different from the faint smile before. This time, it looked more sincere. "I can show you more of his masterpieces if you like this." After leaving the exhibition, it was almost dinner time. Stephen had just offered to treat Melanie to a meal, but he happened to receive a call from a friend. His friend said something on the other end of the call, and Stephen looked at Melanie with some embarrassment. "It's my friend's birthday today. They're in the bar nearby. Do you want to go there with me?" Melanie did not know Stephen's friend and wanted to reject it. "I can go back in a taxi." "It's okay. We can pop in for a while and leave. If I go alone, they might make me drink." Stephen shrugged helplessly. Stephen and Eugene had different personalities, so their friends were mostly from different circles. That was why Melanie had not expected to meet Eugene at the bar again. When they arrived, Melanie stopped outside the private room and told Stephen she was going to the restroom. Just as she walked out of the restroom, she bumped into Eugene. Startled, Melanie did not know how to greet him. However, Eugene broke the silence and asked, "Did you come with Stephen?" "It's his friend's birthday," said Melanie as she looked at him. She asked, "What about you? Did you come with Viola?" She was good at disguising herself, and her expression was as calm as if she was just casually talking with Eugene. Eugene stared at her for a while before retracting his gaze. He snorted in response and walked away. Melanie walked into the private room after Eugene entered. She was not surprised at all. After sitting beside Stephen, she whispered to him, "I can drive you back if you want to have a drink." The private room was noisy, and her whisper could not be heard. All everyone could see was Melanie leaning close to Stephen. Melanie had just finished whispering when she felt someone staring at her. Lifting her head, she happened to see Eugene sitting opposite her. He looked calm with a wine glass in hand, which seemed strange in a noisy and loud environment like this. It looked as if he were bored and disliked this place. Eugene happened to look at her when she was looking at him. When their eyes met, Melanie looked away immediately. When she looked at him again, he had already looked away. It was as if his gaze earlier was just an illusion. Eugene seemed to be a close friend of the birthday guy, so he had to toast his friend. He couldn't avoid drinking as it might be disrespectful. Chapter 49. Stephen looked at Melanie helplessly and explained, "I need to drive her home later." Others kept quipping and asking him to drink, so Melanie said, "It's okay. You can drink. I can call someone to send you home." Stephen shook his head and insisted, "I promised to give you a lift." Melanie knew she could not convince him. She was not familiar with everyone there, so no one pressed her to have a drink. It was boring to just drink. After a while, Simon suggested playing a game. Everyone gathered around the table. Melanie was talking to Stephen when she felt someone sitting next to her. When she turned, she saw Eugene and Viola. Melanie had just noticed Viola. Viola did not greet her and hid behind Eugene. Simon brought a stack of poker cards over and placed it on the table. A card game of dares. Everyone knows the rules, right? It was indeed a simple game. The one who got a joker card could give out a punishment for all the others. Melanie drew a few rounds of cards and escaped a few rounds of punishments. She glanced at her card and drank the fruit juice in her glass, thinking she might only have to sit aside and do nothing again this time. King of spades, Simon got the joker card this time. He was bold in the game and purposely dragged his voice. Melanie's grip on her glass tightened. Her card was King of Spades. Choose either three of diamonds or eight of hearts and kiss that person. That was the boldest punishment so far. Everyone was curious about who the three were. Melanie put down her glass and her card on the table. Her voice was cold. King of Spades. No one expected it to be her. Everyone was excited. Before they could cheer, Melanie heard Steven say, "Mel, you're lucky." He flipped his card and continued, "I'm three of diamonds." Simon whistled before everyone could cheer. "Steven, I didn't give you that card on purpose. Start kissing. I'll be watching." Melanie said calmly, "Isn't there eight of hearts too?" "Eight of hearts is me." A cold male voice sounded. Melanie froze as she looked at Eugene. He had an eight of hearts card in between his fingers. Eugene threw the card on the table as he glanced at everyone coldly before leaning back on the sofa. Everyone in the private room said nothing as they stared at Melanie. Viola's face was pale as she tugged on Eugene's sleeve and called out his name, "Eugene." Eugene looked at her. "What's wrong?" Viola looked at Melanie and lowered her eyelids as she shook her head. "I don't want to spoil the game." She sounded aggrieved, and her words hinted at Eugene not to play. Everyone knew what she meant. Just as Melanie was about to speak, Eugene cuddled Viola and flipped the card on the table as he said lazily, "Don't choose me. My girlfriend will be jealous, and I'll have to coax her." Everyone started teasing him, and Simon said, "Eugene, you're now a hen, pecked man. You weren't like this before." Eugene said, "I had no one I cared about before this." Melanie was a little speechless. She took the wine glass and looked at Simon, saying, "I'll drink three glasses of wine as a punishment and skip this round of the game." Simon could give way to Eugene, but it didn't mean he would be nice to Melanie. He said in displeasure, "Melanie, you're so boring. Can't you play the game without Eugene?" Chapter 50. Just as Simon finished his words, everyone looked at Melanie. His words had indeed put Melanie in an awkward situation. It sounded as if Melanie wanted to kiss Eugene badly. Simon did not care and continued asking, "Steven is around. Why aren't you kissing him?" Melanie squeezed the glass. Just as she was about to speak, Steven spoke up for her, "Simon, stop making things difficult for Mel. She just got off work, and she can't drink. I'll drink on her behalf." "That's right. It's just a game. Drinking is fun too." Even Joshua, who had always been meek, spoke up for Melanie. He poured himself a glass of wine and toasted Steven. "Steven, I'll drink with you." Steven and Joshua had already spoken up for Melanie, so Simon stopped forcing her to play. After Steven drank, they started a new round of games. Melanie looked at Steven's flushed neck and felt terrible. "I'm sorry. These people were bold, and the wine they ordered was strong." After Steven drank three glasses of wine, others seemed to take the chance to toast him. He closed his eyes and leaned on the backrest of the sofa. Then, he turned around and said to Melanie, "I might have to trouble you to send me home." The party ended late. However, because Steven was drunk, Melanie left with him before the party ended. Melanie supported him, afraid he might fall. When they walked past Eugene and Viola, Melanie saw Viola leaning against Eugene's chest and speaking in a voice only the two could hear. After she helped Steven get into the car, she realized she left her phone in the private room. Steven rubbed his temples. He was still a gentleman even when he was drunk. He said, "I'll rest for a while in the car. You can go and get your phone." When Melanie returned to the private room, it was livelier than before. She opened the door and walked into the room. No one noticed her as someone was singing. And the room was dark. Melanie's vision was slightly poor in the dark. She held onto the wall and walked to her seat. Suddenly, she heard Simon asking Eugene, "Were you reluctant to kiss Melanie, or did you reject it because you cared about Viola's feelings?" Viola must have left the private room, which was why Simon dared to ask such a thing. Melanie was looking for her phone in the dark when she heard Eugene's answer.
I don't care. I just didn't want to kiss her. I've had enough of her.
Melanie froze. The next moment, she took her phone and walked out the same way she entered. However, she bumped into someone, and that person staggered a few steps back after exclaiming. Melanie could recognize that voice. It was Joshua. Joshua gasped as he asked, "Melanie, why are you here? Didn't you leave already?"
"I left my phone here. Can you please make way for me? I can't see clearly," said Melanie. Hearing her, he probed, "Do you have poor night vision?" "I have mild nyctalopia. I'll help you out."
"It's dark in here," said Joshua as he helped Melanie walk out. After Melanie left the private room, she stood at the bar entrance for a while before going to the car. Stephen was startled to see her face and asked, "Are you feeling unwell? You look pale." Melanie shook her head.
"Maybe I'm having a little migraine from all the noise."
She sounded frustrated, but Stephen looked at her side profile and said nothing. He handed her a bottle of water out of concern.
"Rest for a while. Act fast, free bonus time is running out."